Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's 7 minutes past the hour of 9. You are listening to the social program on Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company this morning right up till 10 a.m. We do have Molana on the program. Last week he was out in Gujarat, and therefore we were unable to do the social program. But alhamdulillah, Molana is back in the country, and we'll be continuing as usual today. Molana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners.
How are you doing, Manana?
Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has been very kind upon us.
Well, a quick recap of the previous program, and then we can inshallah look at what's coming up today.
Yes, Manana, we looked upon the importance of monetary affairs, and then we looked upon the aspect of distribution of wealth in one's lifetime, and thereafter distribution of wealth after a person passes away, which is commonly and known in terminology as the estate.
Mm.
In this particular regard, we looked at how the estate is supposed to be distributed. We said the estate is distributed through the means of, after a person passes away, his burial expenses, then his debt. And I think we had covered those two aspects thus far in our program. We would like to conclude the program, inshallah, today, and we will then take it from there onwards. Firstly, we said that this aspect does bring about great amount of disputes in the community, sometimes leading to a permanent type of damage in family relationship, and therefore we need to get it right. We need to work according to the Sharia. Allah Ta'ala will grant barakah, Allah Ta'ala will grant love. Allah will keep the family intact if this is done. And I think it's important for us to look at that all the time to be able to do it according to Sharia. A moment a person passes away, whatever belonged to him, no more belongs to him now. There are other people's rights. I gave the example of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh, who said that the moment he was sitting next to a person who was on his dying bed, the moment he passed away, he called for his own lamp and he switched off and he extinguished the lamp of the deceased person, saying, now there are rights of other people, they might be the rights of minors, I cannot use it without their permission. And this is a reality. The moment a person passes away, we cannot use his wealth to feed people. We cannot use his wealth to entertain people who had come to mourn or to pay their respects or to come make dua after a person passes away. These are the type of things that need to be settled between the heirs. If all the heirs agree, that's a different matter. And therefore, it is so important that there is understanding between the heirs to be able to utilize and to be able to distribute properly the estate and the wealth of the deceased. And inshallah, we will carry on after that, Mawlana. This is just a small background and a small introduction.
It is just gone 12 minutes past the hour of 9. You are listening to the social program on Radio Islam International. Mawlana, just before coming on air, I received a call from one of the listeners, and she says, Mawlana, please, you must talk about this inheritance story. My mother is in her 80s, and the estate is worth 23 million rands, and they are not giving her a penny from there, and she is suffering, and she has to live on social grant. So this is the call I received, and she said, please speak about it. So this is a scenario, Demona.
Yes, unfortunately, it is a reality, and we just got to be very careful, because, I mean, these aspects can impact so greatly upon our akhirat, our qabr. Sometimes a deceased person goes, he makes an incorrect will. There's a hadith which I will relate towards the end of the discussion on how important it is for us to get this right, because sometimes you might have done so much of ibadah during the course of your lifetime, but you have not made proper hisab, you have not made proper arrangements for the distribution of your wealth, you have treated one person unjustly, and you could suffer the consequences while you are in the qabr in the year after, or despite all your piety, despite all your other good deeds that you have done. And I think it's important for us to get it very, very correct in this regard.
Mm. So, Mawlana, today, inshallah, we'll be looking at the last two points in more detail, that is wasiyat and the distribution of the estate.
I think I just want to very quickly, once again, reiterate the importance of paying one's debts, whether it be in our lifetime or making arrangements with regard to the payment after we have passed on. This is no ordinary matter. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has placed so much emphasis upon it that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, يَغْفِرُ لِلشَّهِيدِ كُلَّ ذَمْ إِلَّا الدَّيْنِ. Allah will forgive the person who has sacrificed his life in the path of Allah all his evil deeds except you know, all except deen, except death. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to seek Allah's protection with disbelief, kufr, and death in one dua. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, you are making and seeking Allah's protection of all these things in one dua. You are seeking Allah's protection from disbelief and kufr and from death in one dua. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, because when a person takes debt and he borrows money from people, then he becomes morally vulnerable. When he speaks lies. When he promises, he breaks his promise. Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam had said in a statement that debt is a worry by night and a humiliation by day. A more true statement you will not get. Because when a person takes unnecessary debt, then he worries at night how to pay it. And the day is humiliation. He has to run away from people in case they ask him with regard to the money that he is owing. And from this perspective, from what our discussion perspective, if a person passes away, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on occasion did not perform the janazah. And until someone took responsibility of the debt, if a person left debt without making arrangements for the repayment, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not perform the janazah. So in terms of the distribution after burial expenses, first thing that will be paid from the deceased estate will be his debt. So if the debt, if anything remains after that, then it will go further. If nothing remains, then everything is khalas. So if a person has 1 million rand worth of an estate, he's got 1 million rand worth of debt, then all the other people, all the other heirs, the children, the parents, the wife, sadaqallahu al-azim, before they write, the right of the person whose money has to be given is even before that.
Was that there's also the aspect of the marhum, where he is entitled to the monies that people have borrowed from him, and I think we also have to put that on paper. Sometimes it gets slipped off.
Sometimes what actually happens is people feel that now he passes away, I can somehow or the other just get away with it. No one will know. Allah knows. Just remember that. Don't think Allah, no one knows. Allah Ta'ala knows. So if there is going to be a situation you are owing a person and he passes away, then it is your responsibility to go to the executor and say, I owe this person the money. Here is the money distributed amongst his small children. It could be his small children, could be his other estate. You can't say he passed away, therefore I don't owe him nothing. And maybe no one will know it was between me and him. It was between you and him. مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ. Whenever you discuss something, you might be two alone. Allah is the third. And you are discussing something, three people. هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ. He is the fourth. وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ. You are five. هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ. He is the sixth. Says Allah in the Holy Quran. So if you are owing someone money and he passes away, it's your responsibility to go to the executor or to go to the family member and say, I owed your father or I owed the husband the money. Here is the money. Go and give it according to the Sharia in distribution.
Allahu Akbar. For 011-854-1548, that's 011-854-1548. And alternatively, you could WhatsApp us on the studio number 0727861548. And inshallah, we'll take your queries moving into the program. Well, talking about wasiyat, perhaps you could explain to us a simple introduction to wasiyat.
Well, you know, there is a technical detail and there's a technical definition and easy definition. And there is wajib, mustahab, haram, makruh, wasiyat. Now let me give a small, the technical this. The wasiyat, the definition is the suspending of ownership over a movable or immovable asset upon one death in the form of a tangible or intangible item.
It's not so difficult, Mullah. What you say? What's so difficult is that?
I'm just writing it, Mullah.
Well, the suspending of ownership over a movable or immovable upon one's death in the form of a tangible or intangible item. What it basically means is you've got your assets, you have suspended ownership of it until you die. So that's the easy one. So I told you there's going to be a technical one and there's going to be the easy one. So the technical account ones come from the Jamiatul Ulama Department of Economics, ECOFIN, and also from the Department of the Inheritance, which is headed by Mufti Yusuf Dokra. May Allah Ta'ala grant him barakah, inshallah.
Amen.
A lot of patience in dealing with people's problems in terms of inheritance. Nevertheless, so what it means is you say, I give such and such person money, but it must go to him after I die.
Mm.
So in this, you are only, there are two aspects that are very, very, very clear. You cannot make wasiyat for your heirs.
Mm.
So you cannot say, my son will get so much, my daughter will get so much, my wife will get so much, my parents will get so much. There are three categories that are always inherit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The children, the wife, and the parents. Others, brothers and sisters, depends upon who you leave behind. So brothers and sisters can, and then sometimes nieces and nephews in a very, very extreme situations. But normally brothers and sisters, if, for example, there are no children, but that's a different matter, or, for example, there are only female children. So in that particular aspect, sometimes the brothers and sisters are not necessarily that they always inherit. The three categories always inherit: children, parents, and wife, spouse, husband or wife. Now, what you cannot make wasiyat for your heirs, because they write and they distribution and they shares have been allotted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tilka ududullah. And Allah Ta'ala says, أَبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ لَا تَدْرُونَ أَيُّمْ أَقْرَبُ لَكُمْ نَفَى فَرِيضَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who is more beneficial to you, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been the one who has granted you their allocation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you cannot make wasiyat to them, and you cannot make wasiyat for more than one third. Then let us go into the different types of wasiyat.
Mullah, I remember previously on the program you said you will, inshallah, also take us through the Jamiat, Islamic world that you have prepared, or the Jamiat has prepared, inshallah. So we'll just keep it in the back of the mind, inshallah. When we get a chance, we'll go through that also.
All right. Now, before we go, let us look at the different types of wasiyat.
Hmm.
As you said, wasiyat can one-third. Be one-third, not to the heirs.
Hmm.
Wajib wasiyat, zakat, Hajj, fast, people whom you are owing, is wajib for you to make mention with regard to it. So it's compulsory for you. And I want to make mention of another thing which some people might laugh at it, but it's a reality that is happening in our community, is that you need to make mention if you have a secret wife.
Subhanallah.
Because then there is another aspect that comes into play, because they also inherit from you if something happens to you.
Mm.
And of course, it might come as a shock that time, but I mean, that's a reality that is there. You cannot get away from the Sharia because of what you have done or not have done. So, but the only one aspect with regard to Hajj or with regard to Zakat, and I made mention of it briefly last time, it's so, so important. It tells us how we are supposed to fulfill our duties, especially our religious duties, while you are alive.
Hmm.
If you make wasiyat, I have not made Hajj, and my Hajj must be made. Or I have not given zakat for so many years, my zakat must be given. So ulama say it will only be applicable to one third of your wealth.
Hmm.
So if, for example, just give an example, you've got 100,000 rand, and it costs 50,000 rand to send someone for Hajj. So it is now beyond one third. Now it is upon the heirs. The heirs have got the right to say, perform the Hajj on behalf of our parents. Or they'll say, no, our rights come first. Leave the deceased Hajj. They've got the right. Although you can look at it, you can, instead of making someone's Hajj from here, you can tell someone from Makkah to make the Hajj, so the cost will be less. But if a person has not fulfilled his Hajj, it's compulsory for him to make wasiyat of it.
Mm.
Or he's not given zakat. Or, for example, now there's one aspect of this wasiyat many a time does come is yusufrak. Yusufrak means you say that, my parents are living in this house. It is my wasiyat that she continues or he continues to stay, or my wife is staying, they must continue to stay. That is not binding. It is a recommendation. That means the other heirs have to consent. They have to agree. If they consent and they agree, then it will be applicable. Otherwise, other arrangements must be made. The house must be sold. Rental must be given. You see, the rights of a human being becomes first before anything else.
Mm.
You know, and that even takes precedence sometimes and always over the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this particular regard, if you, for example, say, my wife, if something happens to me, must continue staying in the house, is dependent upon the children's permission.
Mm.
And, for example, one son of yours is staying with you, and you say that son must continue staying in my house, is dependent upon the other brothers or the other children's consent. So therefore, sometimes if you have certain things you want to do, you must give it away in your lifetime.
That's important. Let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Okay. You can call us back, 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. Inshallah, we'll move on.
Someone gave a definition with regard to wasiyat, and that is a very interesting. Yen mansadot as under mansabrot.
As a bayakhrot brot. It's a bayakhrot brot. Ik praat kom bij Afrikaans. Ik heb een vrouw in een white community.
Hey, shut up.
Okay, we do have a caller, Marana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Could you kindly switch the radio off in the background, please?
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. How are you, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah.
Mulana, my mom, during her lifetime, she requested that her house be made 50-50 between my brother and I.
Mm-hmm.
And she's passed away now, it's 1.5 years. And unfortunately, my brother's not making any effort to settle anything, you know.
Did your mother give you the house while she was alive?
Gee.
But how did she give it to you?
She wrote it out on the paper.
No, but after she wrote in the paper, did she give it to you physically? Did you have control
like
over the house?
She said it's 50-50. Now, I'm not worried, even if he has to take two-thirds, one-third. My question is, like, he hasn't settled anything, and it's time. And another thing is, daddy's estate hasn't been wound up, and he's passed away now for over 9 years. And I think my brother has a very carefree attitude, so I suppose maybe that is why nothing's been done.
You know, what I'm going to say is that, listen, I can't speak on behalf of individuals. You can ask the question, and of course, obviously, with regard to your specific situation, I'm going to make mention in the course of the program of one very major problem that people are having and not understanding the Islamic viewpoint, and that is, the giving of gifts, when is it constituted as giving? And I will come to that, inshallah, if you can listen. My suggestion would be that maybe you contact an alim to be able to resolve the issues and to come to a conclusion.
We advise you to get in touch with the Jamiat, inshallah, 011-373-8000, sister, and they'll give you advice.
Assalamu
alaikum. Well, it's a very common scenario, like the sister is saying, 9 years. In other cases, 20-25 years.
Well, sometimes the other problem is that there is a difficulty in terms of wounding up, because it does take time, unfortunately, because of the legalities in today's time. But it doesn't give anyone the right to unnecessarily procrastinate. Sometimes there is a carefree attitude, we'll see when we get down to it as soon as possible. And that is important, that people must do that.
That's important.
The other aspect, I think maybe, I don't know whether I should just bring it now or should I bring it after everything has been completed, about the aspect of gifts and when is it completed.
I think since the sister brought it up, we can just finish it, Mara.
You see, sometimes people say, I have given someone something, but you have control over it. That is not giving. It is not counted as giving in Sharia. If you have given the house to someone, that person has got the right to remove you from the house and sell it without your permission. If you don't have that type of control over the asset, it is not yours.
True.
This particular saying, I've given it to you, while giving it to you, how did it give it to you? Have you got the right to keep the keys and take the person who has given it to you and say, sorry, I have sold it, you have to move out? Whether you do it or not is a different matter, but you've got the right to do it. Until you don't have that right to do it, you are not the owner. It hasn't been given to you. Even if it's put in your name. In Sharia, when something is given to you, you have to have complete control over it. And a lot of times people say, I've given this house to my son, but he stays in there, and he means it must go to my son after I've passed away. Sorry, it's not acceptable. It will still go to the estate. It will go to everyone. Until you have given it over to him and he controls it, he pays the rates, he pays the taxes, he takes control over it. If he wants to sell it, if someone wants to come to buy the house, who negotiates the price? Is the person who is living, who is supposed to have given it, does he negotiate the price? Or the person whom you have given it, he negotiates the price. Until that person doesn't have full control over the asset, it is not given to him.
That's true. 011-854-1548. Marana, here's another question coming through. It reads, Assalamu alaikum, Marana. Is it correct for an executor to change the will and leave the children of the first marriage out?
No, it's not permissible for him. In this particular way, to leave the children of the first marriage out is not correct. He can, for example, change it if it's against the Sharia to bring it to the Sharia. But to change it against the Sharia, it's not permissible.
The next one is, Marana, but what about if they give your share away to the masjid without you knowing and say it's sawab and can't get it back?
No, it's not permissible. It's not permissible. As I say, I can't give with regard to individual situations, but I'm just giving the example. If, for example, after a person passes away and there is no wasiyat to give it to a masjid, there is a wasiyat of the deceased that give it to Newtown Masjid, right? They say give it to Newtown Masjid, then they don't need anyone's permission as long as it's within one third. If there is no specific wasiyat and it is go beyond one third, then everyone's permission needs to be taken theirs. But if, for example, there is wasiyat, after I die, so much percentage or so much wealth must go to this cause, then they don't need anyone's permission. That will take precedence over other people's rights, over other people's, as long as it is within one third.
Why you want to make what other people share? Let's go to the lines. We've got two callers. A sister, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Sister, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam.
Jee, sister, you live on air.
Well, I was going to find out if my husband passed away about 5 years ago.
Gee.
And the house that he left, he actually left it. It's on my name at the moment, but I know there's a share that needs to be given to each child of both two sons and a daughter. So I just want to find out if I want to transfer that house, but the two kids, my one son is Bali, but the other two kids of mine are still minors.
So, sister, you say the house is on your name. Are you the owner of it? Was it given to you before he passed away? What's the story? Or have you taken possession after he has passed away?
After he's passed away, it was transferred onto my name.
Okay, so it's part of the estate. Gee, Manana will tell you. Manana.
Okay.
I just didn't get that question. Maybe can I just suggest to the listeners, if it is a broad principle that needs to be asked, then maybe we can discuss it. But if it's a very specific type of masala about your individual circumstances.
But this is a general one, Manana.
Yeah.
The husband passed away 5 years ago. The house has come into her possession after he has passed away. It's been transferred into her name.
Yeah.
Just the procedure forward. I think that's a very common scenario.
All right.
So what's the way forward, Manana?
So now it all depends on the situation. How many children did she leave behind? But if it was given in the lifetime, then of course it did not form part of the estate. If it was not given in the lifetime, it will form part of the estate. Then there will be other people's rights that will be upon it. If they are minors, for example, their rights will be upon it. If they are living in there, then it will be okay. But if there are any people not living, then arrangements must be made either to pay them out or to perhaps come to some agreement with regard to the rental.
Let's go to the lines again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Malana.
Gee.
I just want to say, you know, in my opinion, I think that it's better if, you know, a fate has fulfilled in one's lifetime, whatever you have to give it to them, because at the end of the day, we're not only looking at the Sharia perspective of the whole thing, but even the South African law. You know, the auditors have to be paid, accountants have to be paid, the lawyers have to be paid, then the government needs to be paid. All the expenses need to be paid, and then they wonder why, at the end of the day, very little is left for distribution to the heirs.
Yes, I will only say this much, that if, for example, there are all these things, if there is transparency, then it makes it easy for people to understand. That, listen, this is the cost that have come about, this is what it is, this is what it is, and people are put through the process, and people must realize that, yes, there are these costs that are involved.
That's important. 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548. We've got two more callers. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Gee, sister, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alright, let's go to the brother there. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Mulana, we are two brothers in an estate. The wills of both my mum and my dad have been declared non-Islam, is not Sharia compliant by Darul Ulum Zakaria, Darul Ulum Zadwal, Jamiatul Ulama South Africa, Mufti A.K. Hussein, and Brother Ahmed Faisal Ibrahim. Now, despite my best efforts to bring this to the attention to my brother, there is just sort of, I'm not interested, I don't believe in all this kind of thing. What is my way forward? What happens in a case like this?
And from the legal point of view, do you have any recourse?
Unfortunately, from a legal point of view, regrettably, my dad and my mom had appointed a Jewish executor. And I have taken the Mufti there. They have explained the side of the Islamic Sharia to him. Whilst he's sympathetic, he says his hands are bound. Jamiatul Ulama did write to him saying that he should step down as executor. But he says even if he steps down, the other heir can still object to it, you see. So what is the way?
When at the end of the day, there are certain things that are within your control, certain things that are not within your control. Yes. See, for example, at the end of the day, if you feel that there is an aspect, that there is a Shari'i right that is due to you,
yes,
then you bring it to the attention of the people. If you don't have the ability to enforce it legally, then you leave it in the hands of the person and he's conscious. He has to answer for it.
Hmm.
Whatever you can do from the legal point of view to get it, you try. If you can't, at the end of the day, what are you going to do? I mean, at the end of the day, you can't live your whole life in bitterness and say, this didn't happen, this didn't happen. My own viewpoint, and I would say that you try, at the end of the day, you can't get it right. It wasn't meant for you. Go ahead. He will have to answer it in front of
Allah. What happens to his rosy based on
But at the end of the day, to what extent are you responsible to his rosy? To what extent are you responsible for a person who doesn't perform five times daily salat? If he doesn't perform five times daily salat, you can go on explaining him. But at the end of the day, you are not responsible to force him to make five times daily salat.
There's always the concept of accountability, brother. Sooner or later, inshallah.
Sooner or later, he will come to realize it. But if from your perspective, my situation is, you bring it to his attention, after that, it is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakumullah. Nice talking to you. I appreciate it.
Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum. We're going to go for a commercial break. When we return, inshallah, we'll continue. In the meanwhile, you can send us your SMSs on 48855 or 0727-86-1548. Okay, let's see. By Tufail, see if we can get her back online. In the meanwhile, we'll take this SMS. Marana, the SMS reads, Assalamu alaikum. Marana, what if one passes away with debt in account and the law of the country says that all the account freezes? What's the Islamic ruling on that?
Well, you've got to take that into account. Well, that means if everything freezes and it cannot be distributed. Is that what the question is?
I would suppose that would be the question.
Well, see, that is sometimes that is a difficulty, because I know of many instances where for some reason the account is frozen. And these are some of the technicalities that need to be taken account. But at the same time, all I would say is that there must be two things. One, there must be transparency and there must be understanding. If sometimes there are these type of difficulties, then the other heirs mustn't go around telling this person not giving him, because, I mean, he might have explained to you the process, and there are difficulties. So there must be understanding and there must be transparency. That's all I will say. There is, someone has also sent a message to say that what happens when there's a woman who is not married by choice and who is quietly wealthy, how will her wealth be distributed? I mean, it all depends who she leaves behind. If, for example, she has parents, other parents alive, brothers and sisters. So these are type of things that she should take into account in terms of what will happen to her estate after she passes away.
Well, we've got about 20 minutes left in the program. I know we are speaking about wasiyah, and if you feel that we have covered it, then we can...
No. Obviously, there's still quite a few things. We spoke about the wajib. Wajib means zakah, hajj, fast, and I made mention with regard to it. Then, of course, you have the mustahab. Mustahab is to give to the poor, the masjid, the madrasa, hospital, libraries, needy people, people who have done you good, but you are unable, they are not part and parcel of the distribution of your wealth after you have passed on. They are not heirs, but they have done you tremendously well and you leave behind something for them. So this is mustahab wasiyat. For example, to say, so much of my wealth must go to the digging of a well. So much of my wealth must go to this madrasa. So much of my wealth must go to the Jamiatul Ulama. So much of my wealth must go, for example, to this hospital or to this library or to this cause. So that is a mustahab wasiyat, which will be implemented by the executor within one third of master estate. So that is the second type of wasiyat, which is mustahab. And bear in mind, the best type of reward you get for charity is when you give, when you are alive, you also desire wealth, you also have the need for it. That is more rewarding than to give after you have passed on. But if you give after you have passed on, inshallah you will get the benefit, especially if it is of a nature that is sawab jariyah, that people continue to benefit even after you have passed on. So you make a well, people, as long as they drinking from that well, you will get reward. You print the Quran, as long as people are reading, people will benefit. You put a library up, as long as people are reading that books and people are benefiting, you will get the reward with regard to it. So these are some of the aspects that we've got to take in mind and bear in mind with regard to wasiyah, which is mustahab wasiyah.
So the next one is a very interesting question. It reads that my husband has willingly relinquished his right to the estate. Can I still convince him not to do so?
Well, yes, you can. I mean, you can tell him that it's your right. Why are you giving it away? Once you got your right, you can do whatever you want. You can give it to your family. You can give it to other people. So it's it all depends. I mean, see, there is this one third where the ulama have said was when Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas wanted to give his entire wealth in charity. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't give your entire wealth. Then he said, what, two-thirds? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, not two-thirds. Then he said, one, three-quarter. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no. And then he said, one-half. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no. Then he said, one-third. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, one-third is there. What thuluth or kathir? But one-third is also too much. And that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, sometimes it is better for you to leave your children independent rather than being dependent upon someone else. So you can tell him that, listen, why don't you take your right and then you can do whatever you want with it. But at the end of the day, you can recommend. It is his decision. Sometimes you need to respect that.
011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. Or alternatively, 072-786-1548. You can interact with Maulana on Twitter also at Ibrahim Bam. Maulana, any messages on your side?
No, nothing. There's another specific one. Wasiyat is a haram type of wasiyat, and this is very important, Maulana. Many a times people, in Pakistan, there used to be many apne bache ko aak kar diya. And then they said, I have excluded an heir from my estate. It's haram. You can't do it. You can't go and say, this son of mine is excluded from my estate after I passed away. He is your son, he is going to inherit. Whether you like it or you don't like it. You know, you can in your lifetime, maybe for example, give some, because maybe one son has been more dutiful and has been more kind towards you and one hasn't been. That is your right. Whether you are morally acceptable for you to do so, that depends upon your intention and depends upon your conscience. Whether it's right or not, that is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But technically it will be implementable. If you, for example, give all your wealth to certain children, you don't give to other children, Allah will question you about it on the Day of Judgment. But if you do so, that wealth does become the people whom you have given it to. It does become theirs. But after you have passed on, you don't have that right. So it is haram for you to say, I exclude a particular heir from my estate, because it will, from a Shari point of view, it will not be implementable.
Let's go to the lines. Manala, are you done? Can I take the caller?
Yes, there's one more category, makruh, but let's take the caller first.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, sister.
Walaikum salam. Manala, one thing I want to ask you now. When the parents are living and they say they are sick, and the brother says it's the daughter's duty to look after the mother, not the daughter-in-law, okay? Now, why when they pass away and they say the daughter doesn't get, your husband must look after you? Why is it they change the condition? Where is faraz? The faraz is they must give the sisters, but they don't give. They say your husband must look after you. But when they're alive, they say the daughter must come from a natural home and look after. The son mustn't look after, the daughter must look after. How they change it, Maulana? That's not all. Everything in our inheritance is upside down. If you go to see, 90% of the homes are destroyed because the inheritance was not put right. And I always mention, Maulana, I think I told you all once too, the Quran mentions how much they're going to get. Okay? Now, they say when the Quran has mentioned it, which means it is yours. And your wealth will chase after you. It will never leave you. It will come to you before your death. Now, why is it people are not scared that if Allah has mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned it, and they will get it, why are they still scared? And the parents parents must open their eyes, Maulana, because they must know 90% of them don't give their daughters. So they must leave an Islamic will. Most of them leave the kuffar will. You know what they're saying when you ask them? They say, no, we leave it that because we have very big mansions and businesses. The son-in-law will come and take it. Okay, fine. The son-in-law will take it for who? His wife's right. But they leave it kuffar because of that. And what happens, Maulana? There's so much of problem in the same business without the daughters. Everything goes away to the lawyers and nobody gets anything. Now the fathers and mothers must open their eyes, leave the Islamic will because the Quran has mentioned it. They can do nothing about Islam.
Jazakallah. Put your points.
Point is upside down. Make it right side up now. Now the thing is very true, man. And you see this aspect, you can't control your wealth from the cover. Finish and clear. Now, once Allah has just said this time that there is going to be a certain right that is to your children, including your daughters, now you want to say from the cover that no, my son-in-law was not benefit from it. I mean, that's ridiculous.
There's a few messages, Manana. Perhaps we first look at the makruh wasiyat.
Yeah, the makruh wasiyat is if you make wasiyat to someone who is a fasik and you think that he will misappropriate the asset. For example, you make wasiyat for someone who is going to utilize it in the wrong way, or you give it to an organization that is going to be propagating falsehood, or you give it to an organization that is not going to utilize it correctly, go against the objectives of the Sharia. So that is why we got this aspect of wajib, mustahab, haram, and makruh wasiyat, which I've tried to make mention of.
The message reads, Assalamu alaikum, what about a person that plays insolvent and then denies that he has done anything even though there is proof that he has done so? Does insolvency exist in Islam? How does this affect the world? The executor of the world plans the insolvency and then sets up trust to make sure that the rightful heirs don't inherit their proper shares. If the person has only one son from the first marriage, has a second marriage with no kids, but the trusts are set up so that the executor and wife of the second marriage benefit.
Well, the one important thing is for us to understand that insolvency might be a technical term from a legalistic point of view, but from a Shari point of view, what is due upon you never goes away. All the time you have to deal with it, and you have to own up, and you have to take responsibility with regard to it. So, you know, by pleading insolvency, you might get away with certain type of legalities, but the actual type of zimmedari responsibility of you paying whoever you're supposed to pay will remain upon you till the day of judgment, until you seek relief or you seek some sort of forgiveness from the people whom you are owing that, listen, I'm going through difficulty, forgive me or give me some time. Or, for example, can I give you half because of my difficulty? And they agree. But at the end of the day, it is dependent upon them to agree.
Allah save us, really, it's a real challenge, and we might get away with it in this world, but in the year after, we definitely will not get away.
One other aspect that people must start making is making their wills. I mean, this aspect of keeping your will without... See, if you don't make your will, then from the legal perspective, your will goes into what is known as interstate. So then your will and your assets are going to be distributed by a formula which is determined by the law of the land. You're going to go against what Allah Ta'ala has allotted to the heirs in favor of what the state has allotted. It's so unfortunate. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, do not allow two nights to go by without having your will underneath your pillow, meaning having your will prepared. Now, after you have made a will, you've got the right to change it. You've got a right to change. So people must bear in mind, so if someone says, you know, I got this will and here's the will that is dated 1990, and someone comes and tells you that, listen, the deceased passed away, but you got another will at 2000. So 2001 will take precedence because that's a later one. But the person, the deceased, must not do that type of things by making a will, showing people, and then making another will and keeping it secret because that leads to dispute. But the person who, while is alive, got the right to change his will. Once he has made his will, he's not cast in stone as long as he's alive. But if he passes away without changing it, then that will remain. But while he's alive, he's got the right to change his will. People must complete their will. It's very, very important.
Yes, indeed. Marana, here's a quick question. Marana, is the wasiyat paid out first from the entire estate, then the rest of the share?
Yes. Yes. But you see, the wasiyat will be within one third. So there will always be, once it goes past the death stage, then there will always be something for the heirs. Because the wasiyat cannot go more than one third. So once it goes past the death stage, the heirs will definitely get. So it depends what they will get. So I think it's important from here that we look at that. So it depends. Now after the wasiyat, then the shares are allotted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you go to the Jamiatul Ulama, you go to the fatawa, the Darul Ifta of the Darul Ulum, and they will tell you, you have passed on, the deceased have passed on, he has left behind so many children, so the wife, and he has left behind, this is how the estate will be distributed. Then you go according to the distribution. Remember, Allah Ta'ala says, Tilka hududullah. These are the limits ordained by Allah. And in that we should have no qualms, no reservation, no reluctance to accept. If, for example, Allah in His wisdom had said that the male will get double that of the female, there is a wisdom behind it. And whether we can understand that wisdom or not, it is Allah's wisdom. We succumb to it. We submit to it. And we need to understand that.
Yes, indeed. And these are the laws pertaining to wasiyah. And Marana, I don't think we'll be able to venture into the next one. We'll have to leave it for next week. So we'll just dwell on.
No, I think more that we have sort of more we come towards the end. The other one is now the shares of the heirs. Now the shares of the heirs is not something that you can do a program on. The shares of the heirs will depend upon what is.
Maybe we can discuss the categories first, Marana, like the immediate family and the asabat and the
no, no, that is now a very technical thing. As I said, the three people will always inherit. And that will be the parents, the children, and the spouse. They will always inherit. All other people now depend. The moment you go into that, it all depends upon the structure at the time of death of the deceased. So you can't really give much of an explanation. That will be an individual type of understanding. An individual type of answer. Who did the deceased leave behind? So that particular aspect is something that we need to take into account. And it's not something that you can do a program because it is a very individual type of circumstance which needs to be clarified by a Darul Ifta or, for example, come into the estate department of the Jamiatul Ulama, which is headed by Mufti Yusuf Dokrat.
Having said that, Marana, I think the objective and the wisdom behind that quick discussion, the brief one, is just to make people aware that there is something like allotted shares in the Quran. And perhaps Marana can just say the wife will get one third or one quarter, or whatever the case is. Not to grasp the information, but just to appreciate the fact that Allah has covered the angle.
Allah has covered the angle. So normally with regard to spouse, there's a basic principle with regard to male getting double that of the female. So, for example, in this case between the husband and the wife, if, for example, a deceased passes away and the deceased is a male, then the female will get 1/12, 1/8, or, for example, they will get 1/4 if there are no children. In the reverse case, if the wife passes away and leaves behind an estate and leaves behind wealth, then the husband will get 1/4 of it. If there are no children, he will get 1/2. The parents will always get 1/3. So 1/3 to the mother, 1/3 to the father. And then, of course, the children will get the remainder to an extent of 2/1. So the aspect will be 2/1. Unless if there are no male children, then the female will get 2/3 of it. The female daughters will get 2/3 of the estate, and if there's only one daughter, and for example, there's only one daughter, and the daughter, then there's no other children, then the one daughter will get 1/2 of the estate of the parents. So that is basically what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention of in the Holy Quran, covering all the angles. And this is also a remarkable aspect that Allah in the Quran has not revealed the specific manner and method of performing salat. He has said, Aqimus salat. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni aw salli. Perform salat the way you see me performing salat. But he has not made mention in the Quran, go into ruku, then get up, then go into sijda, then go into qada. But with regard to inheritance, Allah, the whole ruku, Allah has made mention of the broad principles in such a way that it covers almost all eventualities.
Allahu Akbar.
This shows the importance of this. And we cannot take it lightly down. If you start giving and determining your close family members' share after you have passed on, you are saying you've got more knowledge in Allah and you've got more wisdom than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahumma ahfadna. It's so comprehensive. Imran, the Sharia is so comprehensive and so just in its nature that you can calculate inheritance up to several generations upwards also if it was not calculated as a called munasa.
Alhamdulillah, the Dar Liftas are very, very busy because people have got the zameen that came from India, so from 2-3 generations. So the Dar Liftas have to work out all the shares of the people who have come from such a great amount of generations. So alhamdulillah, it happens, and they have done it with remarkable efficiency, and that is the beauty and the comprehensive nature of the Holy Quran. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said in the hadith, and I think it's important for us maybe perhaps to deal with it, and that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said sometimes a person spends 60 years of obedience to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and then he makes a will which is again the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and he can be liable for punishment despite the 60 years of obedience because his will, and he has not made a complete and a correct will. He has deprived someone who is supposed to get a share, and that goes against the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala.
Just to recap today's program, Marana covered that wasiyat can only be made in one third, and then we looked at the different types of wasiyah, the wajib, which is zakat, hajj, fast, and debts. However, this will also only fall in one third, and after that, it's at the discretion of the heirs. If they allow and permit, then alhamdulillah, they'll be rewarded also for that. Mawlana also covered the angle that the secret wife will also inherit. And the mustahab, that's the second type of wasiyah, that is charity, that's towards the jamia, the darul ulums, the madrasas, etc., etc. That's a mustahab wasiyah. Then the third one is makruh. Makruh means to a sinner, where you know he will squander the wealth. And the last one is haram, where you intend to exclude a rightful heir out of the estate that will not be implemented, even if you do wish to do so. So these are the four different types of wasiyah that Mawlana covered today, and keep in mind it's only done in one third. Mawlana?
Yes, alhamdulillah. So I think we have covered, I mean, see, there are always going to be situations that people need individual counseling and individual advice and individual type of responses and answers according to a specific circumstances. That alhamdulillah, we are always open to assist. But I think in the, I think, 5-6 programs that we have done, I think we have covered the broad aspects which gives people an understanding of how the estate is to be distributed and with regard to the distribution of wealth, both in one's lifetime and after a person has passed away.
Now, a quick one, a very good message coming through. May Allah reward this listener. Children out of wedlock, Manana, do they inherit?
No, not necessarily. Not automatically.
Okay, for further clarification, please call the Jamil or double one.
373-8000.
Mullah, Jazakumullah for your time. Much appreciated. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.